Good morning. It's actually a word I got in my kitchen this morning. So he said, I create the hole within you that only I can fill. We know that, right? How much of that hole you choose to fill is fully up to you. Are you fully invested in me as I am in you? Or are there still desires of the world that creep in to steal your attention from our fellowship? Yes, you have commitments that must be fulfilled to function in society. Responsibilities to an employer, family, friends, they all exist. I have made you to be diligent in being consistent and true in these, in fulfilling these. Loyalty, love, and care are all intrinsic qualities that should be exhibited. I am all of these. Stop and honestly determine, though, if you give a thought to me when you're making your commitments. I'm not a greedy taskmaster, nor do I expect all of your time, but I do expect for you to consider your walk and communion with me when planning your day. Where am I in your hierarchy? First, last, or not at all? It is no surprise that I place you first. First in my affection, first in my consideration, first in my intention. You are my first love. I pray I am yours also. I'm an all-in God, and it is only being all-in that you will yield the full ear, my kingdom manifest on earth. This is not a reprimand. It's a call to arms. It's a call to examine your priorities, so you can realize and realign as needed. I won't love you less if you decide to not put me first, but your ability to carry the kingdom to come will be diminished. You choose.
Read that last verse.
Where do you want? This is not a reprimand. It is a call to arms. It is a call to examine your priorities so you can realign as needed. I won't love you less if you decide to not put me first, but your ability to carry the kingdom to come will be diminished. You choose.
Sharon brought up that testimony. It's been a while, but I wanted to share just a couple of things about that because it was a very challenging time in my life, to say the least. But it was a tremendous testimony where the Lord brought out. But I had this idea when I was trying to faith it without working, and I was a little bit off during that time. But love God. It's pre-ministry days. But I had this idea. I said, I wonder what they do with all these pizzas and Domino's. So I went and asked the manager, I said, what do you do with all your pizzas that no one buys? And he goes, well, I can't really tell you, but we just throw them out. So one night I went back where they threw them out, and there was like 8 or 10 boxes, brand new pizzas. I don't know if that makes it any better, but that's what happened. But that's how I ate in those days. Hallelujah. We had a lot of fun with that. My spiritual father used to have a lot of fun with that one. But out of respect for the Lord and his word, it was a tremendous, challenging time. And some people don't get challenged like that. Some people, they have a lot of ease in that area. Everybody has different challenges. Everyone has different assignments against them. Mine was poverty, a spirit of poverty. And it was more than just a low life spirit. It was like a strong man. That everywhere I went, everything I did, it was constantly trying to seize control. It was supernatural assignments, one after another. And I just couldn't function like the guy next to me. It just didn't happen. How many of you ever been there before? And you feel like there's supernatural forces that are operating against you. And after trying everything under the sun, I finally, she had brought this out. This is the part I wanted to get to. I finally just took the word of God. You heard me tell you I had like $5 to my name, and I took $5. The Lord said, it's good to be reminded where you come from. Amen. And I took those $5 and I went and bought those notebook cards. I showed them to you a couple weeks ago because I found them, and it kind of ties into where we're at. They were scripture notebook cards, like 3.5 by 5 or whatever, and you'd flip them. Back in those days, you didn't really have a computer. This is pre-internet days. This is how long ago it was. So wrote every prosperity scripture I could find, wrote it down. And every day, and I didn't really know what I was doing back then. I was in training. We know a little bit more now. But I'd take those, and there was three of them, and I would confess them over and over and over again, all day long. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. Nothing. Didn't see nothing. In fact, when I started doing that, it got worse. Anytime you make a stand on the Word of God, the enemy is going to challenge you. I remember one day I was staying at my friend's. I didn't have any money. The same thing was around me all the time. I had a very difficult time getting a job. I mean, everything. I remember I went to this pastor, and he used to own, of all places, he owned 15 Pizza Huts. I have this relationship with pizza for some reason. And he went into the ministry. I was like, tell me what you're doing. I said, I'm looking for a job. He goes, show me what you're looking for. And my mind would immediately go down to, and there's nothing wrong with this, but I was going into, back then it was $7, $8 an hour. And he goes, why don't you look over on this side? And the $50,000, I'm like, I couldn't do that. He goes, the only reason you can't do that right now is because you don't believe you're worth that right now. He goes, well, when you change the way you see who you are, you'll shift over there and you'll never do anything less than that. I'm like, I never forgot about that. Because that's what the Lord was trying to do, shift the interior. He was trying to shift who I was and the belief system, the things that I come out of, the dysfunction. And so I remember a defining time, and I just feel like the Lord wants someone to hear this today. I was staying at a friend's house, and it was Christmas time. You've probably heard me tell this story before. And didn't have any money, and I was like about to go, you know, had to go see the family, you know. And you want to bring presents and didn't have any cash. And so I go to my buddy. I said, listen, I'll rake your yard. Just give me whatever the Lord tells you to do. Well, you know, he had those big oak trees. He had seven of them. And it started raining that day. So at the end of the day, it was 55 bags of leaves. I was covered in soot. But I remember it was a defining moment because I was about an eighth or ninth month, just so determined. I pulled out those scripture notebooks. Cards literally and threw them on the ground and stood on them and said, one thing's going to change. I'm not going to live under this spirit the rest of my life. This word is true and I will never come off of it until breakthrough. And I said that day, covered in black soot, but something shifted in me. And he gave me money to go buy Christmas presents. Hallelujah. I mean, we remember these times. I mean, Sharon just kind of brought me back into memory lane when she said this. The Lord wants to say this. And then I remember the day came. Anna and I were talking about, she asked me about this the other day. Say, how do you know when God's going to show up? I said, you don't. It's a suddenly. You're just going about life. I went, actually was going to Dusty Kemp's church back then. It was Bread of Life. I went to it was like a Wednesday or Thursday night service. This friend of mine, evangelist, asked if I wanted to go out to eat. I said, sure, let's go. And I said, are you paying? He said, yeah, I'll take you. I said, awesome, let's go, praise God. Because that's the mindset I was in. That was where I was. And we were on our way in Spring Branch. And how many of you ever fell in intercession before? I mean, just when intercession, when I talk of intercession, when God comes and prays through you. You have to stop everything you're doing. You cannot continue. Suddenly it just fell in the truck. Just started praying uncontrollably for about an hour and a half. He was with me. He goes, I don't know what's going on in here, but God's in this truck. He goes, this is not for me. Something's going on with you, but something big is happening. All of a sudden, after about an hour and a half, this breakthrough, the glory filled the truck. And he goes, something's changed in your life. I had just gotten the job. And I remember this guy when I got this job, and I told him I had a stack of bills this big from my previous issues. I counted them by the inches in the hand. I put a rubber band around them, and when they'd call me back in those days, the creditor, I said, listen, if you keep bothering me, you're going to the bottom of the list. Right now, you're on the top of the list. And so I would carry that around. When I'd confess, I'd carry, and back then, that was a mountain. It was $5,000. Right now, $5,000 is not a mountain, but back then, it was a mountain. Amen. It'd be like probably $200,000 now, considering where I was. And all of a sudden, as I began to speak and speak and speak, I got this job with this guy and at car wash. Because my friend was working at a car wash. They weren't hiring, so I went to this other place. And I said, listen, I have to make $500 a week here, period. He goes, on a good week. He goes, we'll pay you a little bit per hour, but mostly it's commission. On a good week, you're going to make, during Christmas time, $500. But most time, it's going to be under $400. So he was trying to manage my expectation. And I told him I couldn't do it, and the Lord told me, he said, take this job. And so I took it, complaining the whole way through. How many of you have ever been there? I had just taken that. But I was in 9 or 10 months in my stand with the Word of God. And when that night happened, and that intercession broke, that spirit, that strong man, his power over me was shattered instantaneously. I went into that same job, and suddenly the anointing of God came over me. And suddenly God gave me this idea, two ideas, that we implemented. We would sell details, but everybody wanted to do it, but nobody ever had the time. So I went to the owner. I said, if I can get them to pay today, he goes, can we give them a free wash? He said, yeah, sure, give them a free wash. Within a month, we had a stack of details that thick that were not done, the people paying. We went, I'm telling you, before the Lord that week from $400 to $1,200 in 1 week. In the next month, it went from $1,200 to $1,600 a week. And then there were times it would go up to $2,200. That's pretty good money. This is back in the early 90s. $2,200 in car wash. The owner came with me. He said, listen, I have a problem with you. He goes, there's no way that I'm going to pay you $2,000 a week. I said, this is commission. I make money. You make money. He goes, I don't see it that way. He goes, I see that you're worth at the most, this is what he said, $48,000. He goes, there's no way I'm paying you upwards of $80,000, $90,000 here. He goes, well, the problem is you're the only one making this kind of money. All the rest of them. And by the way, all their income went from 400 to 800. It doubled everybody's lifestyle. This anointing showed up. He fired me that day. He says, I'm going to let you go. I'm like, what? I said, I'm the number one producer. He goes, I just can't wrap my head around paying you $2,000 a week. This job does not constitute that. I'm like, you're making money. So what did I do? I got bitter. I took those same scripture notebook pads, pulled them out, those cards again, and I went to this local park. And every single day, I would walk around this park. I would sit there and confess that word. These people would walk by me, and I'm just holding those things, confessing the word. They would look at me like, I didn't care. I was in a zone. And I did it for an hour and a half a day because I need another job. I mean, when you go from making that kind of money to nothing, I need to say how it affects this place. And suddenly, this car wash right here where my friend was working, he said, I think we have an opening. You want to come talk to the manager? I went and talked to the manager, and he said, listen, we don't pay by the hour, but by commission. I said, that's great. That's what I want. And I said, but what I need you to do is change the way you're doing things. He goes, I'm hiring you. You don't tell me what to do. I said, I'll tell you what. I said, you don't have to pay me anything. If I ask him, how much does your detail department make on a monthly basis? Give me your best month. He said, $20,000. I said, I'll tell you what. You don't have to pay me anything if we do not increase that to $25,000. I said, but I need you to do two things. And we implemented the same prepay thing in Express Wax. Very easy implementation. He did it. I couldn't believe he did it. Are you ready for this? First month, they made $25,000 in their detail department. Second month, $55,000. Third month, $85,000. The owner comes in and he builds the whole bay right next to it, which the oil bay and all that detail, because they couldn't keep up with all the details going through there. That blessing showed up there. It shows up. And that's from there we transitioned into ministry. And that's how Sharon was alluding to. 3 months ago, or a couple of months ago, as you know, we've been taking this journey. All that was preparation for another day. That was kind of like the lion and the bear. We're up against another one, the Goliath system of mammon. But God has an answer, and it's the crown, the glory of his house returning, a higher level of faith, much more extreme in every way, but no different in its stance. And as you know, we're all been making this journey together. You all hear us every January saying, what? This is our year. Praise God. And then in December, what do we say? He crowns the year. You never let go of his word. You can't afford, because his word is the only thing you can stand on. And I remember he woke me up. I was like in the dream state, and I'm seeing all these revelations, this finality moving through me, this stuff we've just preached in these last couple of months, the word of decree, the word of release, of loosing those things you've received. But the Lord said, you're in the final phase of the crown. And you must decree those things you've received from my right hand, from the face of God. And I open my nightstand to grab a yellow pad to start writing all this down he's given me. And there are those three scripture notebook cards. Haven't seen them in years. And Anna had found them. She stuck them up under my nightstand. I never saw them. That day I saw them. And all of a sudden the Lord said, that's your confirmation. This is the final stand. Don't ever leave this until the day of the arrival of the crown. What I'm saying is all that was a testimony. But God is about to do something grandly with his word. The word of the Lord. The return of the crown. The house of David. God will anoint his house again. God is bringing his glory to his house. And the final display of glory and power and breakthrough, wealth transference for a generation before we go on to be with the Lord. We will not leave this planet in a weakened, broken state. We will come to a fullness to rule and reign with him for a great season before we're called out. Before the world's given over to total evil, God's going to throw an entire wrench in the system. And his glory will manifest through his church. We're carrying a part of that plan, and we'll never let go of it. So stand, amen? Stand in the liberty where God has made you free.
Yeah, indeed. Just give God some more glory here. Amen? Amen? Because, yes, it is a powerful start. And what it actually, that word and Kim was saying, it all kind of goes hand in hand. Because basically what God is saying is, where is your heart? Where is your dedication? Where is it? What are you reaching for? Because what you're reaching for and what you put in front of your face and what you start reaching for, that's going to change everything. And the more that we reach into him and the more that we start looking to obtain what he's doing and see what he's doing and cooperate with him, and so that we can become part of the release, something's going to change. Something's going to be released into this city and into the nations. But it has to come out of people who are hungry for it. It has to come out of people who are ready for it. It has to come out of people who've been diligently applying. We may not always see every detail about where we're going and what we're doing, but what we can see, we need to move forward towards. Yes. Hallelujah. See, we're called to obtain the life. And when we start obtaining the life, now we're going to see that that starts affecting everything around us. I want the life to affect not only my physical body. I want it to start affecting my emotional body. I want it to start affecting my financial life. I want it to start affecting the life of those around me. I want it to start touching. When I go to pray for somebody, it's like Stevie, that the life touches him. So you never know already, you know, God can, he's done it in fits and spurts, you know, in our own testimonies. When I had Nell one and then that all came to, that season came to a close, well, I found out later that it came to a close for this particular reason because the guy that I was in business with started doing business with the guy who was into Santeria, which is witchcraft. Okay, it's witchcraft and voodoo and Catholicism all wrapped up in one little package. And so he was in business with that guy. And that guy was doing little spells on my friend. And then my friend basically comes up and steals the company out from under me. When that happened, obviously it takes a moment to get over, but I was like, okay, the Lord said, I just want you to be separated from this as quickly as possible. So I just let go. The guy started calling me. The Santeria guy. He starts calling me, and he would scream on the phone like I was doing something to him. And he would come, and he would call, and he would just make all kinds of reasons to call me and just scream at me and just blah, 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 all this stuff that was going on. It was just purely demonic. So after he'd done that a couple of times, the Lord just said, I want you to send him a card. Send him a gift. So I sent him a gift and put a gift card in and a scripture wrote to John 14:6, the Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. And I told him, I said, I forgive you. And as I forgive you, I said, this life, I found this way of life. And this life that's in me is on this card. And because you've touched this card, it's now in you. I never heard from him again. See, there's power. There's power in the testimony. There's power in the blood. There's power in what God has for you. There's power in that he wants to release through you. But it comes because we're pursuing the life. It comes because we're pursuing something that God has. An awakening here recently, Mr. Carlos. He was just calling me into account. And so I became aware that, you know what? I can do. I can seek holiness better. Basically what the Lord's quickened me in, you can take what you want from this. You can run whatever. You know? But he quickened me that all the time that I spend with Facebook and with news sites like Fox News or whatever, he said, just take that and dedicate it to me. It's separating me from the distractions. It's separating me from the attraction. It's not a fast in terms of it's going to shrink my body, but it's a fast in terms of it's going to shrink my distractions. And as it's taking those distractions away, it's really actually easier and easier to move in with him. Why? Because there's no more distraction. Found that it doesn't have to take away from my time doing anything else. It just takes away from my time to do that. And that was totally useless because basically when you get done with Facebook, what have you done? Nothing. So you can take whatever you want from that. But what I am saying is that God is calling all of us to a higher level of holiness. He's calling all of us to a higher level of dedication. He's calling all of us to look into him, to look into his heart and press in a little more. Because when we press in, then there's an exchange that's happening because the more that we give him, the more life he can give us. And when he gives us this life, there's an exchange that happens that begins to change how I see things, how you see things. Hallelujah. Part of that early journey was the result of that was that Frame in Your World book. Many of you have seen the Frame in Your World book, but that was the result of those cards. Those scripture cards got kind of authenticated into a little book. And you know what? Those things change your life. Because again, it's a way of dedicating your word, your action, seeing him in his word in a new light. The more of his word that we put in us, then there's more of his word there is to come out of us. Hallelujah. Go with me to Hebrews 11, verse 3. The more that I keep pressing into the life, the more that I see you can't separate the life from the word. The word is life. The word is life. The more you impart the word into your heart, the more life there's going to be in your heart. And that's actually how this was established. It says right here, verse 3 of Hebrews 11, it says, "For through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." In other words, the word was framed by the word. The world was framed. That actually means eons. The ages, everything about the ages, everything, every age has been already established. It was confirmed, set up and confirmed by the word of God. So therefore, the word is going to continually be the anchor for everything else that we're doing. If I read it in the Amplified, it says this, "By faith, that is with an inherent trust and enduring confidence in the power, wisdom, and goodness of God, we understand that the worlds, the universe, the ages were framed and created, formed, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what is seen is not made out of things which are visible." So with that in mind, what I want to remind you of is that faith is part of the journey. Faith is actually the essence of it to start with. Whatever we're doing with God is going to have to come out of a place of faith. Whatever we engage with him is going to come from a place of faith. And faith will change and transform the desires in your heart. The more that you stand in faith, the more the desires of your heart will be changed to look like him. So if we're on a journey to know him, we're on a journey to experience him and express him, we're in a journey of faith. With that, I want to ask is, what are you training yourself to believe? What are you training yourself to believe? Because whatever you focus on is what you're going to obtain. Whatever you're going to focus on is what you're going to draw to you. The more you focus on something, if we're focusing on negative things, guess what? You're going to draw on negative things. If we're focusing on good and positive things, then we're going to draw good and positive things. Whatever you see, whatever you're looking at, if you, all you see is that you're weak and powerless, guess what? You're only confirming something that the enemy has been trying to tell you. If you look and see, you're allowing everything around you to stir you and make you angry, well, guess what? There's all that you're doing is increasing the anger. It's part of a doorway mechanism. You know, if you decide that you hate your job, why, and all you can think of is how much I need to be out of here, guess what? Sooner or later, you're probably going to be out of there. And then you're going to find out that then it's only when something's missing that we find out how much and how precious it was. But if we focus on what was good, if we focus on what was right, we focus on what was positive, then it's going to actually build things in your life. It's going to establish, it's going to start framing things like the word was saying, and it start framing things. You know, when I was in my teens, I built houses, Chimney Hill actually. We built Chimney Hill and it was actually just relatively short, I mean like months. Every week we were completing another block. That's how fast it went. But when you frame something, you establish it where it's going to be. You establish its locality. You establish what its size is going to be. You establish what it's going to look like. You establish something that is now coming off of the foundation that can be seen, because a foundation is already laid, but there was nothing to be seen. Now you start taking the foundation and bringing it into the sight. When you start building like that, then it gives you something for everything else to hang on, and it provides the strength. what you do, what you're framing with your words, what you're framing with the Word of God, that's going to build the strength, the character within you. It's going to determine how much of this foundation gets to be seen by those who are around us. The foundation He's put in you, He's establishing in you, it has to come up. And when it comes up, it can now be seen in a brand new way. Because now you're by having a frame on it, you can hang things on the frame. Those guys would take about a day or two to frame it. Then we would come and we would cover it with all the siding. It'd take us a day. Sometimes we did two houses a day, covered it with all the siding. One crew. Wow. We were moving. It wasn't really good work. I'd be on a scaffold up there, and so I'd get the nail gun and I'd lean it like this and stab it. Wherever it landed, if I had to cut the corner off, that was it. Because I wasn't going to get sailed off of there. See, whatever you want to focus on, I don't focus on that. See, the enemy wants to come and tell you that your past is never over. And if you focus on it, guess what? It's never over. But if I said, no, that was my past, but that's not who I am anymore. That's not who He's called me to be. That's not who the man who's walking with me now. The man who's walking with me now said, I don't have to live in my past. I don't have to live in the consequences of it even. I can just stand out here freely by Him and freely in His order and freely in His kindness and freely in His goodness, freely in His mercy, freely in His grace. Because when I stand in those things, I'm standing in the promise that the Word has been framing into me. I'm standing in the result that the Word has been declaring for me. We're no longer a victim when we start standing in the framing of the Word of God. We can take all that victim and just leave it behind us. It doesn't have to describe me anymore. It doesn't have to identify me anymore. Hallelujah. Okay, so we do this, and now you guys already know that when we have Luke 8:15, Mark 4:20, Matthew 13:23, when we have all these together, it's the same issue, the same thing about the power of the Word here. But when we begin to see and understand that I can hear the Word, and I can receive the Word, I can understand the Word, and now I can keep the Word. Keeping the Word becomes our valuable thing. When I make that the target, when I make keeping the Word, the whole point of this framing your world book was keeping the Word. The whole point of our constitutions is keeping the Word. If there's one thing that we've done here as a group and as a community, it's keep the Word. When we start standing in the positive of keeping the Word, now all of a sudden that God has something He can shine His light through. Keeping the Word becomes evidence to your soul. It becomes evidence to your soul that I am here to stay. It becomes evidence to your soul that I'm here to be transformed. It becomes evidence to your soul that I'm serious about the journey. Keeping the Word. The journey to learn life is the journey to capture the Word. Let me just take you to John 1 real quick. Because in John 1 we can see, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God. So we have the Word, the person of the Word. We have the person of the Word, and He's with God. In the person of the Word, by all things were created. In the person of the Word. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. That's a complicated way of saying that it's all by Him. And then 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. That life that He's talking about, the light of men that He's talking about, it's in the Word. The Word itself, the Word Himself. The Word Himself is the light. The Word Himself is the life. So the more that I understand of his word, the more that I ingrain his word into my soul, the more I can become a reflector of that light, a carrier of the light, an acknowledger of the light. The reality is, when you became born again, you have light in you whether you know it or not. But until I start understanding it, I don't reflect very much of it. I don't understand. If I don't understand that light that's within me, I don't step out with it very much. But the more that I have, more I become aware of the light that's in me, of the cause of Christ that's in me, the more I can be a reflector of the light. That means I'm a reflector of the life. His life comes. And see, sometimes you can see that life burn brightly in some individuals. Some individuals show that life. College football started yesterday. But remember when Tim Tebow would play? He would always have a scripture. On his eye black, he would put a scripture. And people had a fit because he had a scripture. You know, they didn't mind if you put whatever ugly thing on there you want, but don't put a scripture out there. And so he had one that he typically used. But then when he went to the national championship as the quarterback, he put John 3:16. John 3:16. Do you realize 94 million people Googled John 3:16 as a result of that boy placing it on his face and placing it on his eye black? John 3:16, 94 million people Googled to see what it was about. Talk about being a light. He's shown a light just by using a simple thing. God puts power in you. Power in your testimony. Power to change. Let's look at John 3:16. I mean, most of you can probably just say it. All right? Because we're good church folks, right? For God so loved the world. Say it with me. That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. An eternal life or everlasting life. Do you realize that life that he's talking about? I'm going to give you just a little twist for that. Everlasting life. When he's talking about everlasting life, that's life that's without beginning and without end. What does that mean? That means he wasn't talking about making your body live forever. He's talking about in Christ. Because Christ is the only life that was in the beginning. And we'll be all the way in through the end. His life, he's talking about, I'm putting this life that's in me, in you. I'm quickening you with me. So now you have a life that was be always was and always shall be. I don't know about you, but that's kind of exciting to me. Because now I see that the life that I'm seeking, the life that I'm wanting, it's in him, but he's already freely given it to me. He's awakening us in life. John 6:63 says this. It says, my words, they are spirit and they are life. My words, Jesus' words, are spirit and life. The more that we hold that word, the more that we hold that, we're holding him. The more that we hold him, we're holding life. The more that we hold this life, then all of a sudden there's a bounty ready to pour out. Holding his word is holding his life. The more you allow it to have ownership within you. See, sometimes the issue is not that we don't, I mean, I've seen a few people who could quote the whole Bible. I mean, just amazing amounts of scripture memorized. But it's all head knowledge because they're not living in it. It's a matter of how much life you allow to live in you. Because that's what changes you. Hallelujah. So let me wrap this up with this. John 15. I want you to turn there because I want you to see it for yourself. Jesus is talking about being the vine, one of the I ams that he declares. And I encourage you, as I have done before, look up the I ams everywhere he says I am and declare that he is that in you. Right here he declares he's the vine. Well, if he's my vine, then he's my source. He's my root. He's the place where I draw my strength from. He's the place where I draw my life from. He's the place where I draw my sustenance from. He's the place where I draw my courage from. He's the place where I draw anything that I have need of, because it all has to come from the vine. And in the process, I get to take what comes from the vine and produce fruit. When he's my vine. But it says here, verse 7, if you abide in me, are we abiding in him? Are we abiding in? Are we intentional to abide in him? If we abide in him and my words abide in you, when you let his word, what we've been talking about all day, letting his word camp in you, become alive in you. When his word abide in, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. You want a place of power, a place of change, a place of transformation? Let his word abide in you. Let his word begin to shift everything inside you, so now it can begin to shift everything outside of you as well. That is your divine right. It was a divine position that was given to you by your Savior. When you make him your vine so that you're drawing from him, when you begin to abide with him and make him that abiding place, that's the moment where now all of a sudden that which you have need of, he's greatly and greatly able to release to you. All because why? We want to pull on him. We choose to pull on him. We choose to abide in him. John 14 tells us to not let your heart be troubled. Believe. Believe. In my journey thus far, he keeps asking me, son, will you believe? Will you believe? When I see something that's, and he's challenging me to step up to it, he said, son, will you believe? Believe. Because why? He says that, he goes on to say in John 14 there, he goes on to say that he's created these dwelling places for us. And that we can come into these dwelling places. He's created these dwelling places and he's drawing us into the dwelling place. In other words, he's already prepared a place and he chooses to receive you to it. He's going to receive you to it. It's not even us that's making the request. He said, I built the place. I created it. Now I'm receiving you into it. If you have any question about whether or not you belong in heavenly places, that should tell you something right there, because I'm receiving you into it. And as I receive you into it, you can be with me where I am. Be with me where I am. Because I am the way and the truth and the life. And when he becomes our way and our truth and our life, now we're standing in alignment and agreement with something that's so powerful that it allows him to start doing the things that we are looking for and requesting. Because why? Because our hearts are now in alignment and in purity and wholeness with his. Amen. Amen.